Morning again, and I know we just celebrated 4th of July. We celebrated Independence Day yesterday. You know, I think sometimes we overlook what it meant for those who celebrated it first. And all the chaos going on around us, some think sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of its importance. We may even lose sight of our freedom. You know, they celebrated freedom from tyranny and injustice of the King of Great Britain. They mourned the loss of so many who gave their lives to secure our freedom. And today, I believe that we have all the more to celebrate. The independence we have that gives us liberty and freedom, it's being fought for on a continual daily basis. Year after year, since July 4, 1776, men and women daily fight to guard the freedom that we have. They lay down their lives so that we can experience liberty, so that we can raise our children in freedom. A great cost was given to secure our freedom, and a great cost is being given to keep it. I want us to take a moment to honor and thank those who have given their lives to protect our freedom, those who have put their lives in harm's way to guard our freedom. Our military and our police deserve our gratitude. And most of us have never lived in a nation without these liberties, without these freedoms that we live with every day. It's easy for us to go about our days and not think about it. We're accustomed to living with this kind of liberty. We've been raised in it. We've been born into it. We live with it on a daily basis, and it's easy for us to forget. I'd like, if you have served or are serving in our military or our police, if you'd stand, because we'd like to thank you and we'd like to pray for you. So anybody here that's serving in our military, we have two there. I know we have some on the police here. They're not here today. But let's thank them for that. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for just your grace. You've allowed us to be born into this nation, to live with such freedom and liberty. Lord, may we never take it for granted. Lord, we thank you for those who have laid down their lives, who have sacrificed it all. With their lives, Lord, you said there's no greater love than for one to lay down his life for his brother, for his friends. And Lord, we thank you for these men who have given their lives to serve and who are serving. Lord, we pray for your blessing and protection on their lives. We pray, Lord, that you would give them courage, that they would always remember that you are with them, and that makes all the difference in the world. That they'd always remember that we are grateful. Lord, that we are so grateful and so thankful, Lord, there's no way for us to repay the debt other than to honor them, to make sure they know that we are blessed. Father, I pray your blessing on our police and, Lord, those who serve us every day to continue to keep our freedom, Lord. We pray for their protection. We pray that you'd watch over them and guide them and give them strength and courage to serve. Father, we are blessed among every nation, Lord. There's no nation like America. And we are thankful, Lord. Lord, we are most thankful, Lord, for the freedom and liberty we have in Christ. The men who fought and died and laid down their lives to give us this freedom, to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, to share our faith with others, Lord. We thank you for that freedom. Lord, be with us as we celebrate our freedom in this nation, and be with us this morning as we celebrate our freedom in Christ. May we glean, may we understand the price that you paid for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Although we live with such wonderful freedom, There are millions and millions of us who are still in bondage. Many live under constant slavery and don't even know it. A slavery we're all born with. They awake each day, they go about their lives, they go to bed at night and don't realize that they are held captive by their sin under the tyranny of a ruthless evil ruler who seeks to destroy their lives. In fact, this is going on among every nation, tribe, people, and language around the world. We are all born under the yoke of sin, enslaved to its powerful, destructive work in our lives. We all face the spiritual battle against the evil one. We fall prey to his schemes, to his deception, and to his attacks. Sin becomes such a part of a person's life that they don't even see it. They don't even realize it. They know nothing else. They have never truly experienced freedom. It would seem as if all hope is lost and our future is bleak and we are driven to despair. But as we look at our passage today, we're going to find out that indeed we are given a choice. Indeed, there is hope for us. The Creator God, who is everlasting, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, has designed a perfect plan of redemption for us. One that gives us freedom from sin and liberty from Satan's influence. Today we are going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to look at one verse in particular. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The first thing we're going to learn here is Christ has come to set the captives free. Let's read verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now here in this letter to the Galatians, God uses Paul to address an issue that they were having with their freedom in Christ. This was a church that Paul started on his first missionary journey. These Galatians had put their faith in Christ and his work on the cross. They had enjoyed true freedom and liberty in Christ. But something happened. They were deceived. And started adding other things to this wonderful gospel of grace. They had become legalistic in their beliefs. They were looking for something else other than just the gospel that brings freedom from the law and freedom from slavery of sin. They added in man's traditions, other religious practices, parts of the law that they considered to be important. Basically, it was their gospel was Christ plus works. You must jump through these particular hoops if you are to be forgiven of your sin. And this took away from their newfound freedom in Christ. And it put them back into a place of bondage, back into the impossibility of fulfilling the law in their own strength. But here in this passage it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Christ is the great liberator. He is the Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He didn't come to give us conditional freedom. He didn't come to give us limited freedom. He didn't come to give us temporary freedom. Jesus came to set us free once and for all. To give us freedom from the bondage of sin that we were born with, freedom from the punishment of death, and freedom and liberty from the evil one. He came so that we could experience freedom here, right here and now, while we live on this earth. As John 8:36 states, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But in order to truly understand our freedom, we need to better understand our bondage to sin. And when we understand the yoke of slavery we were born into, we will better understand the price that He paid for our freedom. Just as we may lose sight of the cost of our freedom here in this nation, we may lose sight of the price that Christ paid for our freedom from sin. It's really pretty simple. It's a pretty simple story, a very powerful story. In the beginning, when we were created by God in His image, the world was perfect. We were perfect. Our relationship with God was unhindered. But in our free will, we chose to disobey God. That our disobedience to God is sin. At that moment of disobedience, sin entered the world and brought destruction. It distorted all that God had made. It brought about suffering, pain, and death. It brought brokenness into our lives, a brokenness that we constantly try to fill up with all sorts of things from this world. This sinful nature has been passed down to every human being born on this planet. We are all sinners. God then started the sacrificial system right from the beginning. He sacrificed the first animal for the sins of Adam and Eve. Because sin is so severe, He said, there must be the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. Because the punishment for sin is death. From the start, God promised mankind that He would one day send a deliverer so that we would have hope. He knew that He was the only one who could come and free us from the bondage of sin. He's the only one who could come and deliver us from the evil one. He would come. He would destroy death, and He would destroy Satan. From that day forward, mankind made many sacrifices to atone for their sin. This was all a foreshadow of what was to come. Every single animal blood sacrifice was made based on one final and perfect sacrifice that God would make on our behalf. It all pointed to the great liberator, the Savior who would come and pay the ultimate price for our sin. Over 2,000 years ago, God came Himself. He took on flesh. He was born as a baby. He lived a perfect life, a perfect, sinless life, so that He could pay the ultimate price for our sin. Jesus, our Redeemer, He loved people like no one else. He taught God's truth. He had power over all things. He was betrayed and crucified by the people He created. On that cross, He was God's perfect Lamb, the perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. On that cross, He took your sin. He took my sin on Himself. He took our place, our punishment of sin on Himself. And He died as our substitute sacrifice. He laid down His life on our behalf. He died and was buried. And 3 days later, He rose back to life. He defeated death and sin. And He lives now to offer all people forgiveness of sin and eternal life. He lives to offer us freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from the oppression of the evil one. Jesus is offering us not salvation plus works. He's offering us salvation by His work alone. There are no good deeds. There are no good works that you can perform that will pay the price for your sin. Jesus offered us a free gift that only needs to be received. He's already paid for it. He paid the full price for it with His own life. You can receive His free gift, this wonderful free gift from Him, if you believe in who He is, God Almighty, if you believe what He did for you on the cross and how He rose from the grave, if you will repent of your sin and turn to Him and ask His forgiveness, if you will surrender your life to Him. Those are big ifs. Surrender your life to Him. That means He's Lord of your life. You're no longer in control. It's not your way anymore. It's His way, and He's in control. If you do that, you will experience true freedom. You will no longer be a slave to sin. You will no longer be led by the evil one. You will no longer have a need to fill your brokenness with the things of this world, because He will fill you. He will fill you with His Spirit. And He will make you whole again. That's what He's offering you. He will give you instant freedom from the bondage you're in. And He will protect you from the evil one. And He will begin the process of fulfilling His plans in your life that are so much better than anything that we can make up or plan in our own strength. Jesus stated, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. That means that no one gets to heaven except through Christ, except through faith in Him. There's no other way. As a child of God, do you realize? Do you realize the predicament that you were once in? Think back. Think back to before you knew Christ. Do you realize that before you surrendered your life to Christ, you were a slave to your sin? You were in bondage, and if you would have died, you would have been separated from God forever in a place of torment. Do you realize that in your sin, you had no power to save yourself? Do you remember that you had no power over your sinful lifestyle. You have no power over your addictions. You have no power to make yourself better. It's good for us to look back. It's good for us to look back and remember what slavery to sin was like. Because it gives us a greater appreciation for the freedom we now have in Christ. It gives us a greater understanding of how much it cost Him. The suffering, the torment, the pain, the death, that the things He went through on our behalf. How grateful should we be? How often should we celebrate our freedom in Christ? I think every day. There's never a morning that we should wake and not give testimony and glory and honor to the Lord that we are saved, that we have been adopted as children of God, that our future is secure. We have a place He has prepared for us in heaven. Every day. Maybe today you do not know Christ. May today be the day that you believe in who He is and what He did for you. The day that you repent and turn from your sin and turn to Him and surrender your life to Him. The day you experience true freedom in Christ. If you are a child of God, may you celebrate your God-given freedom today. The freedom and liberty that you have in Christ. May you be encouraged that Jesus is at the throne of God. He is interceding for you right now. He's interceding for you. He's praying on your behalf. He is watching over you. He wants you to experience all the spiritual blessings that He is giving you in Christ. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from Satan's influence and power to overcome our flesh. Freedom to experience true joy and peace, real purpose, and everlasting certain hope. That's worth celebrating. It doesn't matter how much chaos is going on around us, we are secure on the foundation of Christ. We have certain hope. We have been forgiven. We have true liberty and freedom. We must celebrate that. It brings us next to the command here in this verse. Not only did Jesus set the captives free, Christ has come to break our yoke of slavery. Look there at that verse 1 again in chapter 5 of Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm therefore. Stand firm in what? We are to stand firm in the liberty we have in Christ. We are set free from the bondage of being under the law. We're set free from legalism. Our freedom was bought and paid for by Christ and given to us out of His grace. Unmerited favor. We now enjoy His grace and forgiveness. His unmerited favor. You did not work for it. It was given to you. These Galatians thought that this grace and liberty that Paul was preaching here was dangerous. They thought if Christians are free from the law, they will live wicked lives and do whatever they desire. Something some people think when we say once saved, always saved. If they don't have the law, they're going to live wicked lives, they're going to do whatever they please, whatever they want. They thought that we must then add back into the gospel of grace some of the law. Because we need the external component of the law to control the people. These Galatians had fallen back into the yoke of religion. They were trying to trade the yoke of Christ, which is easy, for the yoke of religion. The yoke of the law, which is burdensome. The yoke of Christ frees us to fulfill His will and become who He created us to be. But the yoke of the law and legalism enslaves us to a life of burden. A child of God is no longer under the law but under grace. Hear me when I say this does not mean that we are rebels and we can live our lives however we want. If you honestly know God's Word, you know that that is not part of His plan of redemption. That's not part of our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification in heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does He allow His children to live their Christian life on their own terms. Nowhere. In fact, 1 Peter 2:16, a good verse to put to memory. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Live as people who are free, not using our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Here's what it means. It means that we no longer need the external force of the law to keep us in God's will, because Christ, in Christ, we have the internal leading and empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. We now have a new nature within it, and it brings with it a new desire, a new devotion to follow Christ and live by His way. By the Holy Spirit, we are now empowered to obey God's Word. That's why Jesus can say, if you love me, you will obey me. Because He makes it so. He empowers you to do that from within, not from the external law without, but from within. He wants us to stand firm in our new reality, to become who we are in Christ, to live in our freedom and not turn back to the bondage that we were once held by. We don't use our freedom to trample on God's good grace. We can't be filled and changed by God the Holy Spirit and live however we want. We live as servants, His holy ambassadors, His royal priesthood, He says, His holy nation. That is how He describes us, His children. But there is a danger. You see, even as we make our stand in this freedom, we are threatened by sin. No longer a slave to it, but threatened by it. Because we have been justified and set free from sin, the internal war begins.
This water's kind of old.
I want you to think about that. The internal war begins. For someone who has never surrendered their life to Christ, there's no war. There's no war. There's no battle. They are under the bondage and control of sin and Satan, and they have no power to fight against it. But for those who are set free from sin, forgiven by God, there's a new battle that begins. God, the Holy Spirit, which lives in you, begins the war against your flesh, against your sinful nature. He starts the work of changing your very nature to be like that of Christ, to get rid of that old way of life. He goes on later in this chapter to describe this war. I want you to look down a little further there at verse 17. Look at what he says there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Every single day, the battle is there. The battle begins. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. As a child of God, we face the same battle. Every one of us faces the same battle every day. But one of the rewards that our freedom in Christ has given us is His power. You see, we have power over our sinful nature now. We have power over the evil one. We have power over temptation. Without Christ, you have no power. And we are like the rest of the world, doing our best in our own strength, which is never enough. We must make our stand in this freedom and submit to the leading and power of the Holy Spirit. Look back one verse at verse 16. Look there what it says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is why your relationship with the Lord and time spent with Him is most important. Nothing can come before it. As you spend time with Him, He changes you from the inside out. He changes your very nature, as we talked about. And then you start to willingly submit to His control in your life. Because your nature is being changed. And you realize that His way is best. And you start to willingly submit to His control in your life. You die to self and you follow Him daily, and your flesh loses the battle. Every day, you continue to lose the battle. In your surrender, you find true victory. Where else in a battle, where else in a war, can you surrender and find victory? Only in Christ. Only in Christ do you find that true victory and freedom. Why trade our freedom from the bondage we used to be in? Sounds silly, doesn't it? Why go back to that? Have we become like the Israelites? I was reading this week and reflecting on this. Have we become like the Israelites who so quickly forgot what it was like to be under the bondage of slavery in Egypt? They just left there. How quickly they forgot the moaning and groaning unto God, the requests, the prayers that they just poured out to God year after year for Him to set them free. How quick they forgot that. As soon as they were freed, as soon as they had to put their trust fully in God, they wanted to turn back to the bondage they had been in. Think about that. As soon as they were freed and had to put their trust fully in God, they wanted to turn back to the bondage they were in. As soon as God took over leadership of their lives, they wanted to go back to the cesspool they had been delivered from. Think about that. Isn't that the issue, though? As soon as God wants to take control of our lives, we push back. And because we haven't surrendered to His control, we have no power to keep from falling back into sin, back to our old ways of life. As soon as God wants to lead you in a certain direction, you fight back. You turn away from Him. As soon as He brings conviction of sin into your life, you turn away because it's uncomfortable. Instead of repenting and walking in His will, you decide your way is better and you turn back to your old way of life. This is why people don't want to come to church. They don't want to be convicted by the Word of God. It's why people refuse to be discipled, because they want to keep control of their lives. Maybe you have forgotten. Maybe you have forgotten the brokenness and bondage of sin. And you have forgotten what it's like to be enslaved to sin. And you have forgotten that your way never worked out. That your way and your plans for your life are limited and would never be good enough. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that God's way is truly best for you and your family? Why turn back and submit to a yoke of slavery again when God's way is best? Why live as though you were in bondage when you have been given freedom? We are to abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good, Romans 12:9. Don't forget that sin is evil and destructive, and it brings about suffering and death. Why would we want to be enslaved to it again? Because we are selfish. We want control. We don't realize that only in our submission to Christ is there true freedom. We have been duped into believing a lie from the world that somehow material possessions and money will fix our problems, that the government will fix our problems, that there's some other way to find peace and hope. Only in Christ is there freedom. Only in Christ is there hope for a future. There is no other hope. There will be no other peace but Christ. There is no other way but Him. He is the only way. Here's the great thing. You don't have to fall back under the yoke of sin. You don't have to. Because you've been given liberty and freedom. You don't have to fall back. In Christ, you're no longer a slave. Romans 6:6 and 7 tells us that. You're no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to fall back. In Christ, you have all the power you need to overcome your flesh. All the power you need to overcome temptation, to overcome the evil one. In Christ, you have been set free, and you have been given true liberty. Make your stand. Make your stand in this freedom and live in it. Become who you were created to be. Allow God to have His way in your life and experience His best. Experience His blessings. Experience His joy and peace and power. The freedom and liberty we live with in this country is nice, but it can never be compared to the freedom and liberty we have in Christ. Never. You can live in a country that is free and still be enslaved to sin, still be in bondage. Christ is the answer to all the problems we see in this nation and around the world. He is the answer. And many of us, hopefully most of us, if not all of us, can give testimony to what that liberty and freedom is really like. To what it's like to be free from the bondage of sin. What it's like to truly live free. I know people who live in places of governmental bondage and slavery and still have freedom like no one else because of Christ. He alone broke the curse of sin, and He can break all the chains of sin that still exist in your life. He can break all the chains of sin that still exist in your life. That's right. We are a work in progress. God is working His work in us and through us to make us, to sanctify us, to mold us in the likeness of Christ. It is an ongoing work, and we still have these things in our life. We still get entangled sometimes in sin. We still fall back to the bondage we were once in. But Christ can break those chains of sin that still exist in your life. But you must submit to Him. First of all, you must submit to Him and receive His free gift so that you can be His child. Then you must submit to Christ and walk in His power. And then you must submit to His leading and experience true freedom from sin. As Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." As the worship team comes, may today be a day of celebration for you. Maybe you're not a child of God, and today you now believe in who Christ is. You now believe what He did for you on the cross and how He rose from the grave, and you now want His forgiveness and life. You want to experience true freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom that you've never had. Pray now and surrender your life to Him. Give up control. Let Him take over. And for those who are children of God, maybe today will be a day of celebration for you. Because you will bow your head and you will repent of your sin and allow the Holy Spirit to take over, and you will allow Him to have His way in your life. You will allow Him to break the chains of sin that are in your life, and you will experience true freedom from sin's destruction. Don't oppose the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Listen to what He's saying to you this morning. Take heed of the conviction that He's bringing into your heart and mind. Allow God to have His way in your life and join in the celebration of our freedom in Christ. Let's worship Him this morning.